world events affect the individual.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In any way, really. Any serious problem is a waste of time. But the thing is...
Yeah, you want to get the
equal wealth. It's an equal wealth. Basically, right? But the point still remains, they have to know to vote for. It doesn't really take that much investigation. Like, the people who are involved in this all day long, and this one's moving, and start working out maneuvers, now this one's maneuvering, that one's maneuvering. Political science. You know what I mean? Now, what's the purpose of this? I can never understand, really, what's the purpose of all this. You know, like, just, unless you say people, it's just time for a game, you know? What is the real purpose? Yesterday, it just occurred to me what the purpose is. The purpose is, it only makes sense to a person who unconsciously feels he should be in the position of running the system, running the world. You see, it satisfies an unconscious need, you know what I mean, for the guy who really feels he should be in the position to do it. You know what I'm saying? Often it makes sense. Like, it would make sense for the guy to be self-awesome as the President of the United States, right? Oh, now unconsciously he really is. So which makes sense. It makes sense in a certain framework, right? Now why is this guy acting as if he's in that framework when he really isn't? You see? And the answer is he is. If I was Carter, I would do this. What do you mean? What does that mean if I was? You're not. I mean, it's absurd. It's an absurd statement. If you were, you would. I mean, isn't that crazy? You're going to do everything that if, and what if you were the moon? And what would you look like then? I mean, it's an absurd thing. You're going to walk around to every single thing and think, what if I was this, and what if I was that? If I was a tree, if I was a horse, if I was a rock. Right? The only reason why you say, if I was what I would do, is if you really unconsciously you want to be that. And you identify with that figure. So therefore, you will always go around and start and say what you would do. You know, then it makes sense. Otherwise, it makes no sense. Avram, always Yitzchak. All right. Well, what does the pasuk say? The father of Yitzchak. This the Torah makes that quite clear. Karakash Baruch Hu Shmo Avraham. Achar Kach Hoyle LeYitzchak. All right. Avraham Hoyle LeYitzchak. That's one. So Rashi's bothered with the kasha. Why did I say Avram Yitzchak? Avram Hoyle LeYitzchak. Right. That's the kasha. That's kasha you're bothered. Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. Avraham means Lavamain Gaim Saticha, right? Lavamain Gaim Saticha. What was before? Mitzchilah Av Barom. And then later it was Avra Kolavam Kulay. Is that right?
Yeah.
I said, okay. So it must be tied in with his name, right? Avraham. Somebody asked me a good question. They said, Bechlar, said, why did Avraham want to have a kid? Why to have a son that, Bedafka, his own son, that should carry on the system. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a fine thing. Why didn't I, and Bedafka from this wife, from Sarah? Yeah. What's wrong with,
Sarah who wanted it.
And that should basically the domestic
aliaza.
Yeah.
But then before you start correcting this,
basically domestic aliaza. So what?
So we see that after he got Yishmael
Yichel. We said, Lu Yishmael Yichel Fanefa.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, but apparently he was happy that he got Yitzchak. It was in that way. It was in that way, anyways. So, but the point is, why is it necessary? Pasuk is by the Yehudiko, by the Brisman of Sarim. Al Tir Avram, Anechem Bagnolach Sarach Avramar, Ben Avram. Hashem Lekim Matitli, Anechem Lachavir, Ben Neshi Beisi, the Mesgal Yezer. Ben Avram, Hengli Lena Satazar, Vinevan Beisi Yerushesi. Vinevan Hashem Elalevo Lei Rosh Chazek, Kim Hashem Eitzim Yimei Echo, Yerushecha. See? So what's the so why did he want Dafka from his own? Why did he want Dafka from his own? What's wrong with somebody else? You know what I mean? It's a question, huh? He didn't want it. He didn't want it because
he's also a problem.
Right.
Why give it to three?
Why? Before, after it was called Avraham, then it was Eros Yitzchak. What does it mean?
The name
is Lava Mangaim Saticha. Lava Mangaim Saticha means that the Ava Mangaim was referred to Klal Yisrael. That's the Avraham Mangaim. Alright? I mean, that's what you have to say, no? The Avraham Mangaim didn't mean the Avraham.
What was he before? What is the
Avraham? Avraham. Before is not Avraham. You see, what the Avraham Mangaim is Satichah, what is possible? What does it mean, Avraham Mangaim? What does it mean, Avraham Mangaim? Right? Means that there's two children. The plain shot is that Avraham Mangaim Satichah means in his lifetime for the people that followed him. But the real Avraham Mangaim was in the future. The Avraham Mangaim was probably Yisrael. You know what I mean? That was a real Avraham Avinu. So that's why Rashi says that it was Avraham Avinu Yitzchak. It was only after Shenikra Shemai Avraham. So that was Yitzchak, which means that Yitzchak was the Yitzchak was the result of the bracha of Avraham Avinu. Right? Okay. But the question is, why do you have to have it from himself? That's the question. Why must it be from himself? You know what? What was that? What? Park of Israel didn't happen even before, because Esav wasn't a Park of Israel.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, we didn't have Klai Israel until Moshe.
The only time we had that was after Matan Torah. So after Matan Torah, you had it.
They didn't need anymore. They didn't
have
the lineage.
So you see, one thing seems to be obvious, that the whole idea that the after Matan Torah is not a necessity for the lineage, right? Oh, the question is, what's the purpose of it before? And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make a difference with Moshe Rabbeinu. You see? But why did it make a difference before? That's the question. That when later generations will identify with...
How many later generations are we talking?
The reason is because there had to be an identification to come to us. If you're going to have many different people, so then it wouldn't be... there would be no identification to any common source. There wouldn't be any identification. So you tell me, but let's say, for instance, his Talmidim, let's say he had a Talmud, and then, but then you see, if it went from one Talmud, and then it go another Talmud, it would be a haphazard thing, then it would never...
Why is that?
Then there wouldn't be no emotional identification. The whole thing, you see, you had to build up to Mitzrayim in order to have Matan Torah. You see? And the Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, were only able to maintain themselves, like you pointed out. Gertie, well, it makes sense, of course, identification, because they came from one source. So it had to be one source, Ben Ahaben. That's what it had to be, the source. Yeah, it had to be one source, one son after another, to have one entity. Otherwise, if there wouldn't be any Bnei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, there would be no specific identity of Klal Yisrael. But once there was Matan Torah already, then of course it doesn't make any difference anymore. See, then that's right. Once it's Matan Torah, it doesn't make any difference anymore. Okay. It was all a build up to Matan Torah. You couldn't have Matan Torah without the Klal. If there wasn't a Klal to accept the Torah, then you couldn't have Matan Torah. Now, in order to have a Klal to accept the Torah, it had to start from Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. See, you understand what I mean? It had to start from Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. It had to be in that same group. That's what Moshe Ben said. A stool of three legs, stool of one leg. That's the pshat. Three legs means that there was, in other words, in this group, the group identifies with three leaders. You see?
Three parents.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not a reality. It's just because it caters to their own emotions. That's why they accept it.
Even the Christians, they don't identify.
It doesn't appeal to the emotions, so therefore we need something external to maintain it. But their religion appeals to the emotions.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the chat in the Akedah, really. What's Pshat in the Akedah? What was the Akedah? Akedah was the Olas Akashi. So what was it? Being a Messiah for Avraham Avinu to sacrifice the son. All the Avdei Vadazor. Did the same thing? You see? But the Pshat like this. The Pshat as a Messiah was by Avraham Avinu. Avraham apparently wanted... Why did Avraham want it? So what did Avraham want it? Because he wanted to be the instrument, as Avraham Hashem was, that he should be the instrument of the instrument of Klal Yisrael. He should be the instrument of bringing about God's will, right? Now the thing is like this. But there was always a possibility. There was always a danger. That it was just an expression of his own egoism, and an extension of his own self. So that's why the Akedah really was that the Akedah was the thing that broke that emotion. Because in the Akedah, you have to sacrifice his own
self. Did he have the emotions to break, or just
says that Zol Goyin of Demois.
What?
Zol Goyin of Demois. He was crying tears while he was going to do it. And he apparently went against his He ran. What could he do? It was Yitzchak. It was obvious. That's what Rashi's saying. It was obvious, Avraham Moses. Everybody, in other words, Yitzchak, this is the truth.
Yitzchak
is the
new
one. Right. Okay, good. So what's the thing with the Letzani Adar? What? All right. Okay, next pasuk.
Identification.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay. What do we give about whose brother was, right? Whose brother was, okay.
Shifra.
Go ahead.
Rashi says
Shalom. Interesting that the Avram Bedavka wanted it from over there. He said, "Ki imro mishpachti." Right?
Yeah.
Interesting thing. Okay. The Makam is she's a Bas Russia, a Chais Russia, and Makam Russia.
That's what Avram wanted.
That's what he wanted, Bedavka. Well, Avram was a with the Eved and the whole thing was that you should go to mishpachti.
Yeah.
Don't take from Ishnanim, right? I want a real Russia. I can't take any chances. All right. Before, that he gets a somebody from his family, right?
Right.
Which means his family's good, right?
Right.
And over here it says, Rashi says that his family, the father was a Russia, the brother was a Russia, the old city was a Russia.
Well,
see,
no, he wanted to go there.
Send for Yitzchak to go, send Eliezer to go there if that's a place in Rishayim. A place in Rishayim. I would say there's two types of Rishis. There's two types of Rishis. There's a type of Rishis in which a person is, in which, like, for instance, see, there's a type of Rishis in which a person uses his intellect, uses his mind, see? But he uses it for the wrong purpose. But basically, he's an individual. In other words, he uses it as a means, not as an end. Right? So it's true. He doesn't recognize what the good is. So therefore, he goes after the wrong thing. But still, the man is involved in using his intellect, in using his mind. You see? Such a person, if he would know what the good is, he will be able to use his mind for the good.
Sure.
But there's another type of rishis where the individual is completely away from the use of the intellect at all, completely. The use of the mind is completely gone. Mm-hmm. They just live according to the senses. They live a life of the senses. Such rishis is impossible to overcome. That's why he said you should go back to my mishpacha. Because really, Lavan Arami was an intelligent guy. He wasn't a dummy. On the contrary, he wasn't a rami for nothing. He's a very smart, shrewd guy, right? Shrewd guy, you know, take the other guy's pants off without noticing it. But the thing is, but that takes chachma. So the guy is involved in chachma. The only thing is that the end purpose of it is wrong. The end purpose of the good is the end, that which he thinks the good is mistaken with. But the point of the name is at least as a chacham, he's involved in using his mind, he's involved in using chachma. Now, if the guy would be shown what the real good is, then he'd be able to do it. But then there's another kind of person who lives like a behemoth. I'm a stami, he has no shaykhs to add at all. He stami lives like a behemoth. That type of rishis, there's nothing you can do about. That means that he's sunk in the biological process. The person who's sunk in the biological process is simply worthless. Is
that right?
Yes. Yeah. He says, he's saying certain types of things, he says certain types of rishis are hereditary, certain types aren't. That's what he says. He says that there are certain type of rishis that's hereditary, certain type of, these things, he gives these examples, like, read what he says there, those things, what he say?
Nakama.
In Russia, for two reasons. This becomes a little better. First is Russia, two reasons. First is a Russia because his instincts overpower him. He's basically an instinctual being. And his instincts are in control. That's why he's a Russia. He has no power over the instincts. Another type of Russia, the person has power over the instincts. But the only thing is that he has power over the instincts. The only thing is that which he thinks is his ideas are wrong. That which he thinks is the good is not really the good. But he has control over the instincts. Now he says that the instinctual defect is hereditary. In other words, if you come from two parents that are basically instinctually controlled, then the kid will also be that way. It's mustava that way too, because that's, you know what I mean? But if the other thing, well, it's mustava, that's real. But if Unless, of course, sometimes it doesn't go from the immediate parents, it goes back. But if it goes from the parents, that's what it's going to be. That if a parent is rooted in, let's say a parent is rooted in taiva. So now that's, so he's rooted in taiva, so it means that the instinctual forces overpower him, dominate him. So then the kid will also have that same thing.
Biologically.
Like the Rambam says in the Maamar, when he says, certain people could never learn metaphysics. He says, why? Because their instinctual nature is too powerful. Instinctual nature is too strong. He says, Esav was such a person. Esav was a person whose instinctual nature was too powerful, they could never reach perfection. Impossible. See? So the thing is, that type of thing is hereditary. But the other type of perfection is not because of not because he's rooted in the instinctual. He really is above the instinctual. But the only thing is that the object which he thinks is the good is wrong. That's like by Lavan Arami, his ideas were wrong. Because Lavan Arami was an instinctual person can't think of work out all kinds of chachmas to be the sharpest Rama in the world. You know what I mean? He was known to be one of the cleverest people around Lavan. Because Lavan was known to be a very clever individual. They had a name like that. That people can't really, a very sharp, shrewd guy. So this shrewdness means that the guy who's rooted in the instinctual cannot be shrewd. He can't be shrewd because the instincts will always destroy him. He has to have total control of himself and be able to operate, and every emotion has to be subservient to his desire to outsmart the next guy. So sometimes he has to control this emotion, sometimes he has to control the other emotion. The guy has to have power over himself to be constantly in control. So on the contrary, he's not an instinct, he's not motivated, he's not overpowered by the instincts. He's in total control of the instincts. You see, the only thing is that his ultimate goal is wrong. He's after money. That's the wrong goal. But the man is not instinctual. So you see, it's an interesting thing. So you see from Avraham Avinu, what Avraham Avinu hold the worst thing is? The worst thing would be to have a person whose instincts are in control. The instinctual is a very powerful force in their nature and dominates their nature, yeah. Like lack of control. That's a very, very interesting thing, huh? Interesting idea. Let's say, B'nai Bonav Shal Homon learned to turn B'nai Brak. B'nai Bonav Shal Homon.
They still are going
to be there. B'nai Bonav Shal Homon. These guys, their kids, learned Torah, became tzaddikim. What's the pshat? The pshat is because they were really powerful guys. They had total control. You see? They really, the only thing is that the idea that they were after was wrong. The idea of the good that they had was wrong. Okay? Oh, you know who really follows with that idea? Who follows through with that idea? The Rambam follows through with that idea. Because the Rambam, one of his letters, talks about the different nations. He mentions the certain defects of different nations. It's Chazal also like that. At the brachas,
some of them weren't benefits.
But the structure of the human being can be transmitted genetically. So a person who is essentially an instinctual individual, that's going to be transmitted. That's an interesting thing, huh? Evil is a guy. Let's say, for instance, evil a guy is lazy. Guy can't learn. This is lazy. That's one type of evil, right? Another type of evil is a guy doesn't learn because he's out making money. Which of the two is worse? Which of the two is worse? Yeah, lazy is because he can't overcome his instinctual force. The other guy isn't really an instinctual force. He's yeah, the only thing is he has the wrong idea of what the good is. So he's wasting his time. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. Two types of meters. Interesting thing.
Same question.
That he recognized that there's two types of rishonim. One type of rishus is hereditary, which nothing can be done about, and the other type something can be done about. So that's why he gave himself what to Eliezer. Interesting, huh? And Beitzer, remember the one Beitzer where somebody came to a town, and nobody would give him any food. He says this town is not the Einam B'nei Avram Yisrael Yaakov, the Yadu Hashem B'nei Avram Yisrael Yaakov. See, what's the pshat? What the pshat is, it means that, the guy can't part with food. He's tied to the instinct. You know what I mean? The defect results from an instinctual thing. Then he says that then it's not a Avram Yisrael Yaakov. So Avram Yisrael Yaakov doesn't have the instinctual defects. They don't have any instinctual defects. See? Might have a defect in ideas. It might have been after Keres. It might be something else. You know, it could be.
That's a hard thing to say. That's hard.
Shlosh midas yesh b'mazu. Rachmanim b'ayshanim v'gam l'chasarim. You see?
What?
Shlosh midas yesh b'mazu. Rachmanim b'ayshanim v'gam l'chasarim. That's what the Baranel says. He says that there are three midas, three characteristics in this nation. Rachmanim, and b'ayshanim, and gam l'chasarim.
You see?
Recognizes that I would say b'ayshanim means that he feels guilty. When he did something wrong, that's what it means.
He wouldn't recognize mistakes. He's not brazen.
Right. So it's, but he sees a lot of chazal. I mean, we can't go through every little one. But a lot of chazal is that it seems to indicate that he said that if it was from a straight line of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, you don't have any defects. Could be you guys wrong ideas, could be an apikaris. Terrible thing being an apikaris. But that could be. Still be from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. But if it's an instinctual defect, that can't be from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. That can't be. Straight line, it can't be. That's how it applies to all this. Necessarily has instinctual defects. There could be others who don't. And there could be other individuals that don't. Because
then it wouldn't be wrong to bring them into Pfizer.
No. The ego came from the Erev Rav. Why did it come from the ego Rav? The Erev Rav, because they were tied to the physical. They were tied to the physical. They couldn't rise above the instinctual. So therefore they had to have the ego Azov right in front of them. They had to be tied to the physical. The only way they could perceive God was with this direct physical relationship. I couldn't rise above the instincts. See, that's a hereditary defect. That defect applies to all those men. Right? They might be money mongers, it might be Jews, might be liars, cheaters, thing, whatever they say about us. Instinctually, what? Rambam brings down from his father. He says that even though there's a chazal that says that Yitzchak was 37 years old by the Akedah. And he says, "V'avi dachazeh b'shtei yadayim." So my father pushed away; would not accept it. So if that's the case, he says, then it would be a greater thing that Yitzchak went than Avram, because he sacrificed his whole life. You see? So he says, and the Torah doesn't mention anything about the Yitzchak. That's what he argues. All right, that's such a simple thing. I mean, Avram, that's a simple thing. That's what he says. But of course, it couldn't be too young either. You know why? No, it says he put the wood on his back. No, he carried it. It says So he only carried the Eish and Machelas. And in the wood, Yitzchak carried. So it couldn't be too little. It couldn't be 5 year old. Couldn't put that much wood upon a 5 year old.
In the sleep,
the
parents, if he died right with the
14.
Choices where?
Choices where?
That's it. They don't.
The stavel like that means it's very hard to say 3. Look, let me put it this way. If I was telling over to some group, I wouldn't say 3. I'd say 14. I'd say Tesis chair rather than Asher chair. So I think I'm not trying to decide what's right or what's wrong, but I'm just telling you it's a hard thing to accept.
Asher
chair is a hard chair. If you want to understand the idea of 3, you're going to have to say there's a lot of unusual things were going on there, which are not going to say.
Right,
already that she's Basisola, right? We know already Yitzchak married Rivka, right? So what is? So why ask that question, right? No, the answer is because for Ella Tolis Yitzchak and Avram, so you have to mention that, but you don't have to mention anything else. You just have to mention Tolis. You don't have to mention 5 points. Okay, let's go. Yet Yitzchak Hashem, lo, right? She ain't doma. Tefilas Sadik ben Sadik. L'tfilah Sadek ben Rasha, right? Right. L'fikach love la la, right? Oh, yeah. So she wasn't as great. Why? Because
she's
Sadek ben Rasha, right? The opposite. Rashi says l'agit shvacha. She always said bas Rasha, l'achleis Rasha, l'arachi Rasha, l'alamda b'masayim. So the contrast is, see how great she was. She was even greater, even greater. So why should we? Isn't that a tatsasri? Isn't that a contradiction?
Yeah.
Just an object of a kiyama shvua that a kosh baruch made to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. That's what it means.
Does that mean
real? Yeah, that means I'm just an object of that person. I'm an object of that person. I'm not praying from my own right. That's what it means. I'm not praying. No, he's praying. You are two identities. You are yourself, and then you're your father's son, right? So you can be praying as an extension of
the
Father.
Say Yitzchak,
but what does it say that? It doesn't say that. It says the fish ain't a dim. It's a tefillah sadik ben sadik. It's a tefillah sadik ben rasha.
It's the thing itself.
Why? On the contrary, it says, why would shracha? Shracha is very great. Right? Contrary, shracha was so great. A lot of steers here, huh? Right? That catch body all the time also? See, whenever there's a steer, it always bothers you. So what's the shot? What's the shot?
I never got it.
Yeah. The answer is the answer is like we said in right? Okay. So the thing is like this, that it lahagit shlacha means it shows you how much in line, how much courage she had to follow reason, that even in spite of the fact that everybody was doing the other thing, so she nevertheless was able, when she saw the truth, to adhere to the truth. That's a tremendous mara. Tremendous mara. See? But that shows you a specific quality in an individual. An individual has a tenacity to abide by the truth. Even though everybody else, there's so many counter forces, they still could do it. Right? But does that necessarily mean that the individual is more perfected? No. That's not so. That doesn't mean it's more perfected. And of course, perfection demands more than just that quality. It's a quality, tremendous quality, which can bring a person to perfection. Lagit shlacha means to show you what a great quality she has. You see? But over here, it's trying to show you who's the more perfected being. More perfected, you have to have, you have to be raised by a, you have to have a good start. See? A good start is only possible through the, if you're dealing with inherent qualities, you're right, inherent quality. She had the greatest quality. But that doesn't make you more perfected. A person gets tremendous quality. She's still never mind that, but the point is she didn't have the positive, she didn't have the good training, the positive good training. You know what I'm saying? Let's say, for instance, I'll show you a guy comes out from nowhere, from Ohio, and he comes out here and he comes to the yeshiva and says, you know something? He says, I'm convinced that there's a God and the whole world is wrong. The main thing is to learn and taiva study, and taiva is nothing, isn't it? You say, wow, the guy's unbelievable. But he's still not a person who was a Talmud of Moshe Feinstein. He's still not the person. He's not on that. He has a tremendous quality. But perfection requires more than just the quality. Perfection requires that this person be trained for years in knowledge. That's only possible with tzaddik ben tzaddik. You see? So before Lagit Shracha means to show you that fantastic quality she had. But it doesn't mean she's more perfect. Perfection is not possible. Where there's a medrash, it's brought in the Alvet Shemayni, Samach Aleph, Noach on Noach Ches. Okay? It says that Shaul Antoninus is Rebbe. Antoninus asked Rebbe, he asked him, Ame'ema sayetz on eaten bottom. Amale actually yetz in the me'ema. This is from early, before the time that it leaves the womb. Child is an embryo. Amale lav, can't be. She'ilu kain, ha'yachaitet tzpneimeav yetzay. He would dig his way out. Vaidulay Rebbe agreed, Shehishva Ladasa Mikra, because Antonius was machavin to what the Torah says. Because Torah says, Ki yetzele vodem ramen uro, ksiv, mishoshin in nina ala oilam, time that he's thrown out of the womb, shaken out of the womb. What was the question over there? What was the question? A little insight in this, Chazal. See, the question was asked, this is what happened over there. And what was Rebbe Yonasi's havamin, and what did he say? The question was asked like this. The question was, when the Yetzahara means the instinctual forces. That everyone that has any knowledge of any kind of understanding of Chazal knows the Yetzar is not an extraneous character that exists in the person. Yetzar is the instinctual forces in man. And the question that Antoninus asked Rebbe, he says, when the instinctual forces begin? So Rebbe answered very logically. And why should you say they begin at birth? They begin developing in the womb. Because you have an embryo, also has instinctual forces. You see? So Antoninus said, no. He said, I disagree with you. He says, why? What was his argument? See, what he was saying was like this. Question was like this. What Antoninus was referring to was the specific instinctual forces. So he said that if the specific instinctual forces were already developed in the womb, so then the child would fight his way out. What does it mean, fight his way out? It means that he would be attracted to the specific instinctual satisfactions worldly instinctual satisfactions. So you can't say that the instinctual forces are already developed in the womb. So Rebbe says, you're right. He says that the Pasuk says, Mishoshin Ninah Lotzeis Mi Bet Nimah. What does the Pasuk say? What does Pasuk mean, Mishoshin Ninah Lotzeis? The Yetzirah begin. It means like this. That of course the potential for the establishment of the instinctual forces exists in the womb. You see? The potential exists in the womb. But in order for the instinctual forces to actually be formulated, it requires what?
External,
it requires external situations. The external situations really are what give the instinctual forces their form. You see? Rebbe's first answer was the instinctual forces have their form in the womb. You see? I mean, that's what he thought. Well, you go all the way back. Logically, you go back as far as you do. Antonini said no. He said, if that is the case, so then you'd have the embryo have an instinctual force which you couldn't satisfy except in an external situation. That's what he means. It would try to get out to satisfy its instincts. That's right. So he said that the way God made it would be, of course the question is a theoretical question. The best way for it to be created would be that in the womb it has potential instinctual forces, and then the instinctual forces later through conditioning becomes it attains its form, becomes fixed. You see? And Rabbi Yonasi said, you're right. Pasuk says, Ki eitze levadam ramin ura. Anyone has any knowledge of psychoanalysis can appreciate the depth of the
statement. Is there a psychological term for that?
Unbelievable. The whole idea of psychoanalysis, when they trace back instincts, how it goes back to early, always, what was the basic idea of psychoanalysis, the most basic idea of psychoanalysis, is specifically that the whole system, the whole instinctual system, is gained by environment, by environmental factors, right. by different attachments, different conditions that the child lives through. That's how you can undo it by going back to those conditions and removing the effects of those situations. See, to the extent that you can remove it. I mean, you can't certainly can't remove fixations, you can remove. But the point is, you can avoid them. You can avoid them happening. That whole idea, that whole basic idea, is in this Chazal. That's the idea of Chazal. The question was asked: did Chazal have knowledge of psychology that we have, like different psychoanalysis, different things? The answer is like this: with this specific, whether they had a specific knowledge or not is not important. The philosophical knowledge they had of how it works, the basic philosophical idea they had. I don't know if they knew exactly what an obsessional neurosis is, if they studied the specific neurosis, know the details of neurosis. But insofar as it was necessary, insofar as philosophically it's concerned, definitely they had the basic knowledge. See, this is the Pasukim Torah, Mishnah and Lotzes. The environment is what sets up the instincts. The interaction with the environment sets up the instincts. Okay. I wanted to go over there. No, because I want to ask Kakasha. Yeah, that's the case. Yeah. That's the case. So then, how could the Gemara say this? Chazal says that why? That by straight up on the kibbutz, the Esav wanted to go out when he saw a base of Adazara, right? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't develop until later, yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Nasi says it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in the Torah.
No, I meant that's only
the marriage. What's only marriage?
Rashi is only marriage.
You're only marriage. What about? Now the answer is very obvious. See, the answer is like this. The answer is that there was a separate thing in this heroyim. There's a separate thing in this pregnancy. And ordinarily, you see, that's what he says, Hayachaytei v'yetzei. See? Ordinarily, in an ordinary ubar, his instincts don't develop until there's interaction with the environment. You see? But by Esav and Yaakov, it wasn't that way. That was different. The instinctual forces were already being developed in the womb.
Okay? Oh, that's pshat, base medrash.
That's what it says. When she walked by a base, that's what it means. It doesn't mean, I doubt if the Uber would really know where she walked by, whether there was a base medrash, whether there was a, or whether it was a, but they're base of Adazara. Perhaps you can imagine. Can't see through the umbilical field. But the pshat is like this. Shot is that what it means is it's b'derech mashal, the medrash, but the idea is there. The idea means that their instincts were developed in the womb. It wasn't an ordinary type of situation. It was a special thing. It was different, completely different. In this case, the instinctual force was there. That's what he says. Chayte means that the Ubar could not live in peace. Because if the Ubar had instinctual forces, it would not be able to live in peace, because it would be driven by these forces. So that's why Antoninus told Rebbe, he says, but we see an Ubar lives peacefully in the womb, no problems. So obviously it's not disturbed by instincts. Right? So that's true by, that was true by an ordinary pregnancy. But over here it was different. Over here their instinctual forces were, they were created with the instinctual forces developing in the womb and as embryos. So that's why they were not at peace, because their instinctual forces were driving them. You see? It was like Antoninus told Rebbe, right? So that's why when she asked about, that's why she went, she asked how it would be. Why Tehlech L'Rosh Hashem? Because she knew there's something different here than normally is found. Normal pregnancy, there's no such thing. So apparently over here, there's something different. That she knew in the Teva, that the instinctual forces should develop in an embryo, is very strange.
How did Rivka know?
She saw that they weren't at peace. She saw the embryo wasn't at peace. It was disturbed. It was disturbed.
Yeah, so she went to a doctor.
What?
She did. Yeah. She went to a blind doctor.
She asked, in other words, she asked to find out according to the laws of nature what this is. And there was no answer for it. Right? So she assumed that there's something, will really be, Chazal say, oh, I mean, you see, like it says by Asa. By Asa, he was one of the Malachim, So he, instead of going to so it says that instead of going to doctors, he went to, on the contrary, he went to doctors instead of going to the band. Because in those days, they used to, when a person's on that level, they go to another. They see there's something unusual. But anyway, I'm not interested in that. And the Rambam says in the Mora that from his appearance he could see that he was that the man was already endowed with all the titles. You know, the man was
Red.
Assuming the Simon Ishei for the Dhamma Rashi says, he says special Ashgacha that related to their creation. Okay. What does that mean? The Chazal that says "Vatel v'drashas Hashem" says the chibatik nesis v'adam drashas v'ayvasin yam. No lehokal lebes midrashas Hashem ve'eva. La'medcha komeshim mekal pneizorkin kilo mekal pneishkina. What's the Gemara's teretz and what's the Gemara's kasha? So there was one base of medrash. Base of medrash Hashem ve'eva. There was one. And the answer is like this. And how do you learn mekal pneizorkin? A pshat like this. That the really base midrash Hashem ve'eva wasn't a place of base medrash. There's hundreds of talmidim there. Means that he was shame and Eva. They set up a place where people who had philosophical inquiries, they'd come and ask them. You see, Midrasha over there doesn't mean a base on Midrash. Midrasha means that they'd come to request from him. You know what I mean? They'd come asking questions. So that's the pshat. So that's how it teaches you what Tehlech L'Rosh Hashem. She went to see shame. They see if you Makal Panei Zokin, see what Makal Panei Shnia. You know what I mean? That's the pshat. Okay. I don't really understand the second pshat, but the machlokes between the second pshat and the first pshat is like this: that according to the first pshat, the reason why she experienced the pain was because each one individually was failing to satisfy his instinctual needs. So Yaakov's instinctual needs for the Yaakov's needs for the good weren't satisfied, and Esav's needs for evil weren't satisfied. So that's why she experienced the pain. But according to the second pshat, the pain resulted from the conflict between the two. It was the fact that they couldn't be contained in one pregnancy. The only question, of course, is, the thing that's difficult to understand, according to the second pshat, I mean, why, how does it express itself in terms of the physical? It's hard to understand how it expresses itself in terms of the physical. If you say that in terms of the Uber himself, that he's missing something, so then we understand it. Since he's missing something, so he's not necessarily, he can't be in a state, in a quiet state. He must be in a disturbed state, so therefore she experienced the pain. But if you say it's the conflict, so the question is, I mean, how does that express itself in terms of, first of all, how do they have a conflict about this case, Lomas, at the, when they were grace? You know what I'm saying? So why should there be a disturbance, and why should she have pain in terms of pregnancy? since you don't want it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then what's the point of going to find Amat Teva so far?
He wants to stop us.
It's difficult to accept it because she had some pain. She hears she has such a tremendous desire to have one of the founders of Klal Yisrael. Because apparently she knew the Nevoah from Avraham Avinu. That's why she knew the Nevoah. You need Rosh Hashanah Leimar. I mean, you lay Rosh Chazek, Kim Shazin, and Yerecha. So the Kibis Chakar Lachazara. So she knew the Nevoah. So because she had some pain, that's why she changed her mind. And it sounds very funny to accept that. Okay. So the question is, what's about Tehillah Kodesh Yisrael Hashem? She Yagala Mayet Matei B'Sofa. So how's that going to help the time?
How's
it going to help her now?
It makes it worse
because
she's going to...
First she was Vata Rivka Ishto. That was the first stage. See? Then it was Vayisretzu Abonim B'Kirba. Right? Then of course that goes together with Vatam Ken Lamazan Ayachid, that's the second stage. And third is Vatehu Rishas Hashem. It was a progression. See, Rashi gives away Rashi like this. She says, Vatam and Ken Gadol Tsar Ayibor, Lamazan Anochi Misavel Mispalelas Alayroyim. What's that, Misava? Misava means taiva, right? It means that she had a personal desire for pregnancy. See, it wasn't just, her desire for pregnancy wasn't just because of the fact he be Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazara. But intermingled with that desire was also an emotional desire that she had, that she wanted to become pregnant. You see? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Motherly
instinct. Yeah, right. It was an instinctual force that she wanted very much. She was looking forward to the pregnancy to satisfy those instinctual desires. Then when she had the pregnancy and there was so much pain, so she said, Loma Zanochi. There was no reason for me, really, in terms of instincts. It was a loss because the pleasure I thought I'd get out of it. First she was enjoying the pregnancy. She was very happy, but then she saw the pain she was getting out of the pregnancy. She saw it's not worth the instinctual satisfaction. In the instincts, you have a pleasure pain principle, which means the balance between pleasure and pain. It's too much pain. It's not worth it anymore. Then once she saw that she removed from herself so the enjoyment of the pregnancy was taken away from her in terms of instinctual satisfaction. Then she started to think of the reflect on the pregnancy purely in terms of Kibi Yitzchak Yikar
L'Chazara. That helped her.
Then she recognized, then Vatelech Lirshah said Hashem, because she recognized that there was something unusual here that is outside the laws of nature. So she went to Hashem to find out. She saw this was something that's done by Derech Hashgacha. There's something unusual here. Right? So therefore she went from shame to find out what's responsible for this. What's responsible for this Hashgacha, for this specific manifestation of the Hashgacha? Why? For the simple reason. Very simple reason why she had to find out. Because once she recognized that this pain was Hashgacha, right? So then she had to find out, she wanted to find out what this is the manifestation of. Mate b'seifa. What, there's something going to come out of this. She wanted to know because she felt that it could very well be that her knowledge will be able to benefit her in terms of coping with the situation. And you see it did. How do you see it did? The truth of the matter is it did. How do you see it did? Because it says, she was able to, because she had this nevuah, she was able to look carefully among the two children to decide which one's which. You know what I mean? So she knew to distinguish between the two. She was able to watch carefully in order to make sure that the right one develops properly. So she knew, you understand what I mean? So it was extremely important for her to know. Once she saw that this is a sign of a specific hashgacha being brought about, so then the more knowledge she can gain concerning this hashgacha, the better position she will be to be able to deal with bringing about the most desired results. That's why she went to shame, you see. But before, she was overcome with the enjoyment of her own satisfaction. The pain caused her, removed her from that satisfaction. Then she didn't let that religion was Tell her religion was the third stage. See, Vatarifkish, that was one. She enjoyed it. Then by Shasta Banakiratan Kinlan Zanochi, the instinctual wasn't worth it anymore. Then she started to reflect about the metaphysical, see, about the Ashgacha. And then Vatel Pud Vishas of Hashem. That's the chat. Three stages. Yes. Knew Kibi Yitzchak Karla Chazara. She knew that she will have a child which will be one of the founders of Klal Yisrael. Correct. But she was ready to do that. She's all ready for that. She's ready. You see? And when she saw this, then she saw it's a separate hashgacha over here. There's something different over here. It's not just Sarah also, Sarah Yitzchak shouldn't have this type of thing. This was a separate thing, something, a new element is here in hashgacha that isn't found normally. That's why she had to find out what the new element was. And the new element was very important. The new element was to be careful, distinguishing the two. Shnei Goyim v'vitnech. So, I'll put down tons of shot on Shnei Goyim, Shnei Goyim v'vitnech. Rashi says that it means, Antonin's for Revi.
What?
So the Paschim al Shachonim, Leitznev, Lechazaris, Leitzchon, Leitzacham. So the question is, why? What does this have to do with it? Who cares about it? What does it have to do with this Paschim? So don't say like this. Pshat is that they both were gay and they both had this tremendous amount of physical pleasures, but one of them used it. Shnei goyim, the two different in two different ways. One of them used it inherently for his own kavod. As Rebbe said, so it's two types of game, two different shnei game means two different types of great people. It's the same thing, but two different expressions. That's the pshat.